In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
I know it. Worship him if you can. Respond to his presence in worship. Lift your hands and just praise him. Lift your hands and thank him. To him we ascribe glory. Make sure you are not lost in this moment. Open your mouth and worship him. Thou art welcome. Ala camera kisko pronde crete che le no cosima. Nella cara da massi maracotoro mo somero no hivo su para galane. Cannot do without you. Cannot do without you. Oh Lord, we cannot do without you. We cannot do without you. Cannot do without you. Corre crete de mero comasibra. Lift your hands and close your eyes if you can. Just be still. Enjoy His presence. Pneumatek is an experience of the wisdom, the presence, and the power of Jesus. And I want you to know that Jesus is here now.
I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping.
Please lift your hands. The Lord is breathing upon a few people right now. Lord, breathe upon your people. The fresh breath of the Spirit. Anoint someone afresh. Give them an encounter of a lifetime. Let the weight of your presence rest upon them. Let the weight of your presence come upon us. Let the weight of your presence rest upon us.
There is nothing, there is no one to compare with you. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping.
Everybody just be still. I'd like you to put your right hand on your chest and just be still, eyes closed. The Lord is saying to me now that there are about 7 to 8 people here
and he wants to anoint you. The Lord says he will make you a vessel of his power in the days ahead. And so you will feel that power sit on you. And it will be very heavy. It's the hand of the Spirit. Right now, Father, from the left to the right, from the front to the very end of this auditorium, and even those that are following online, anoint those 8 people right now, those vessels of your power. Stretch forth your hands and let it rest upon them right now. Just put your right hand on your chest. It's coming on you now. In the name of Jesus. Touch! Touch! Right now. Touch! Vessels of his power. Vessels of his power. Let it rest upon them. Rest upon them. Rest upon them. Rest upon them right now. Help them there. Help them. It's still coming on some people. I see it still coming. This is the season where you will walk in the power of God like never before. Let the weight of God's power rest upon you now. Touch. Help them. I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. Wave your hands and give him praise. So right now there are 3 people here in this auditorium, and there's 1 person following online. You are going to feel something heavy on your chest, and you are going to carry that weight from now till tomorrow morning. That's the signature of the power of God. That's why I asked you to put your right hand on your chest. You are going to feel like a weight on your chest. It's the hand of God. God has chosen you in this season to carry his power. Marahala krate krotolomo krote suprikanina. And come and take your place, oh Lord. Please come and take your place, oh Lord. In our lives, come and take your place. In this place, come and take your place. Please wave your 2 hands and give Jesus praise. Thank you, Father. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9. We're going to pray 2 strategic prayers. And anytime I ask you to pray like this, I want you to believe that these are prayers birthed from the place of revelation. And these prayers are meant to position you in what God is doing in this season. I want you to pray them passionately and be attentive. Meanwhile, I sense a power from on high in this service to cause a sudden change and transformation in the lives of people. Many of you will leave this place and you will leave some things here. Believe me, many of you will leave this place and will leave some things. You see, we had Glory Summit last week, but I realized something, that when that program ended, something changed in my life. Even my appetite for the things of God changed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Since I came back from Abuja, I've not switched on my television. Not because there's no TV to watch. There's just been this all aura of the glory of God that I carried it from the last day of Glory Summit, from that stage till today. You have to be sensitive when God is moving. Play with your friends, joke with your friends, but when you are with God, main business. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You come to the house of God because you know that there is a God that will meet you according to your expectation. So when I say the power of God will rest on some of you and some things will change in your life after this service, you will go back and not find the trace of some things around you. Something is happening in this season. Wave your hands and give him praise. Something is happening in this season. I'm telling you. Not just here, but in the body of Christ. Something is happening. Come and take your place in my life. Come and take your place. Hallelujah. Isaiah 42 verse 9. It says, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. God is the one speaking. It says, but before they spring forth, I tell you of them. You are going to pray and say, Lord, anything you are doing in this season in my life, give me revelation. Ahead of what you are about to do, give me a revelation of what you are about to do, so that I can connect the right way. So that I can connect to what you are about to do. Hear me. Many people don't know. You see, there are seasons where the glory and the power of God comes upon your life. God wants to do something. But because you are not aware, because you are blinded, even when you are speaking in tongues, that season can pass and then you miss what God is about to do. Lord, open my eyes to see what you are about to do in this season. And help me to connect into what you are doing. Open your mouth and pray where you are. Please pray like you are serious. Pray like serious-minded believers. Open my eyes to see what you are doing. Give me a revelation of what you are about to do in this season. In my life, whatever you are about to do, Lord, open my eyes. Show me. I don't want to be unaware of what you are doing. Whatever you're doing in the season, don't do it without me. Please, Lord, don't do it. Without me. Lord, whatever you're doing in the season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Please pray. Man and woman, boy and girl, pray. Cry passionately. Cry to God from the depths of your heart. I don't want to be ignorant of what you are doing. I don't want to be unaware of your moves in my life. Open my eyes to see what you are doing. In dreams, in visions, in revelations. Some of you can hear what God is doing for others, but you are void of what God is doing in your own life. Lord, show me. Please pray. Whatever you are about to do in my family, in my life, show me ahead. Open my eyes to see ahead. Please pray. Papa, 19. Two scriptures and we'll pray one more prayer. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. When is he going to do it? He said, now it shall spring forth. Isaiah 48 verse 3. The power and the presence of God is strong in this place. Please don't be distracted in this service. God is doing something. I know that you can feel it. It says, I've declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. It says, I did them suddenly. Please give me New King James. Huh? New King James, please. He says, I've declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly, I did them, and they came to pass. Based on some visions I had this morning, God is about to move with speed in the lives of his people. The way you are answering is as if you don't believe me and God. You see, when a stranger enters Pneumatech, I can take their response because it's the first time. But you that have been here, you, and me, your man of God, I'm telling you, God is about to move in speed in your life. The Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and outran the chariots of Elijah. God is about to move with speed in your life. He's about to give you supernatural speed. The hand of God is about to come upon you for speed. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12. He told Jeremiah, he says, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word. In King James, he says, hastily to perform it. Hastily, hastily. I want you to pray with authority and declare that in the name of Jesus, I program divine speed upon my life and my destiny in this season. I program divine speed. Open your mouth and cry. I program divine speed. Divine speed. Divine speed. Divine speed. Divine speed. Are you talking to him? Pray with authority. In your life, in your destiny, in your career, in your business, that thing that was dead, that you thought God has forgotten about, is about to move with speed. He's about to move with supersonic speed. There's about to be a change. I see the wild wind of the Spirit about to blow in this place. The wind of the Spirit is about to move somebody, is about to catapult somebody to another level. Open your mouth and demand speed.
Jesus.
I want you to believe it, oh. God is about to move with speed. I'm not just trying to encourage you. The Lord showed me this morning. Speed is coming to somebody. He says, suddenly I did them and they came to pass. Believe it. Marakatora basikra talabaraga. This is a season of revival. This is a season of the move of God. This is a season of glory. This is a season of grace. This is a season of power. This is a season of power. God is about to move in this season. That which was dead, God is bringing back to life. That which was forgotten, God is bringing again into remembrance. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus. Mighty on your throne. Mighty on your throne. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to declare to all of us in this season, before we sit down, this is a season of revival. Are you excited about that? It means that it's a season for the move of God. This is a season of the power and the glory of God, the grace of God like you have never seen before, an overflow of grace, an abundance of grace. Some of the things that we thought God has forgotten about, God is going to bring them into remembrance again. Oh yes. God is resurrecting dead situations. Is reigniting fresh fire upon the lives of people. He's resuscitating the things that have been dead before. You believe it, shout a louder amen. Are you ready? I don't know about you. Me, I'm not just ready. I'm already in what God is doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I never want to be outside the move of God. That's why I'm pressing to God every day. That's why I talk to God in prayers. It's not a religious activity to feel spiritual. I want to know what God is doing and be connected. I want to be in the cloud of His glory as He moves. And I want you to share in the same burden and the same desire like me. Amen. When God is moving in this season, He will not pass you by. You will not be left out of what God is doing in this season. Clap your hands for Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. There's a hymn I want to sing. The Lord drop this hymn in my heart this week while in prayers. I want to sing this hymn. Many of you may not know it, but just listen to the message and just soak. God's servant Dr. Paul Enenche said every song has four departments. Number one, the music, that's the instrumentation. Number two, the melody of the song, that's the tone. Number three, the message of the song. Every song carries a message. And then number four, the mantle. So when you listen to a song, you must find a way to receive these four. And the Lord dropped this hymn in my spirit during the week. And I want to sing it. The presence of God is already strong here. Amen. Now, the Lord is showing me something before I begin to sing. It's funny, but I will say it. I'm learning how to say anything God tells me to say. There's somebody that came to this service and the Lord is impressing in your heart, or the Lord will impress in your heart to empty yourself. That is, give all the money you came with. Now, this is... trust me, you know me already. I'm not that kind. I'm not a man of God looking for people's money. But I saw that vision. The Lord is going to impress on somebody, or is already impressing on somebody, to empty yourself. I don't know whether it includes your account or everything, but you are going to give all the money with you. I don't know why God is demanding that sacrifice for you. I'm not saying somebody should do it. I'm saying the Lord will impress it on somebody, or he's already doing it now. I don't know what that instruction for sacrifice. You see, I'm talking, but God is still moving. Don't be distracted. Don't look at anybody that is under the anointing. Just look at me straight. You take your eyes off me, you are distracted. Just look at me. Forget anything happening. Are you hearing me? I just saw that and I have to say it. But just know that it's an exchange of a season. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Lift your hands and say, Lord, I receive. Say it again. Say it again. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for. Listen. Every season of revival, one of the central emphases will be on the cross and what Jesus did. I'm going to sing the remaining stanzas, and I want you to just be quiet and reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus and all that he has brought for you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, that just like the children were of flesh and blood, he became a partaker. He partook of flesh and blood, so that through death he might destroy him that had power over death, which is the devil. And then in verse 15 it says, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He died to give us freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the shackles of the enemy. Freedom of access to the Father, that we can live as sons of God, walking in authority and power. Just listen and reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus in this season. I have to talk about this because we don't even talk about the cross in the church again. We are now looking for messages that people are pleased, they like. We are trying to Gen Z everything in church. Spirituality cannot be Gen Z'd. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The message of the cross is old and rugged and the same. People need to understand that what we are celebrating today is a sacrifice. And your consciousness of that sacrifice makes you seek God and hold on to Him. Because we forget it, that's the reason why a lot of people come to church and just play with God and play with the things of God anyhow. That's the reason why revival tarries. That's the reason why we don't see the move of God. That's the reason why we don't see people hungry for God, is because the message of the cross is isolated. And I believe that in every season that God moves, we must centralize our message on the cross. Point people to what Jesus did and the sacrifice that has restored man back to His presence, so that we can live with reverential fear and serve Him wholeheartedly, hungry for His presence every day and seeking Him to know Him. That's the essence of Christianity. My heart is leaning on the Word, the living Word of God. Just let me sing. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for. Lift your voice and thank Him for the cross. Thank Him for the sacrifice on Calvary. That's the reason why you and I are alive. That's why we can call God our Father. That's why we are inducted into the kingdom. That's why we receive the fullness of His blessings. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the cross to the grave. My debt You paid, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift Your name. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest trial and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter and my all in all. Hey, here in the love of Christ, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, is my comforter, is my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. Here in the love of Christ I stand. Listen to the last stanza. No guilt in life, no fear in death. Hey, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's best time to final breath, Jesus, Jesus commands my death. Listen, Jesus commands my death. It's a prophecy to your life. Jesus commands my death. Not a Madioha, not a job. Jesus commands my death. The chorus now. And no power, no scheme of mine can ever blot me from his hand. Hey, Katoko Barada. To return or calls me home. Hey. Here in the power of Christ, no power, no power, no scheme of man can ever blot me from till he returns and calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, wave your hands and give him praise. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, listen to that last part. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever block me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. That means you can't die like a chicken. Except he calls you home. Or except he returns. It doesn't matter the plans of the enemy. It doesn't matter the traps that the devil has set. It doesn't matter the arrows of affliction. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I stand. Wave your hands and just give him praise. Wave your hands and give him praise. Bless him in other tongues if you can. Araketolo boroko mosiyama. Here in the love of Christ, Please be seated. Here in the Lord of Christ I stand. Here in the love of Christ I stand. You're all I need. You're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. Oh, you're all I need. You're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. I'll sing it again. You're all. You're all I need. Yes, Lord. Jesus, you're all I need. Oh, you're all I need. You are all I need. Jesus, you're all. Enjoy his presence. Jesus, you're all I need. Oh, you're all I need. You're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. You're all. You're all I need. Jesus, you're all we need. Oh, you're all we need. You're all we need. Yes, Lord, you're all. In the midst of the troubles of this world, you're all we need. You're all. Jesus, you're all we us in your presence, O Lord. us right now in this place. This is how you get heaven to a place. There are angels already moving here. Blessing people, touching people, removing sickness from people. Changing seasons over the lives of people. Anointing God's people. That's what happens when you become lost in His presence. When you allow the consciousness of Him to overwhelm you. Play again. Just soak in this atmosphere. Cymbals gently. Right now, I see the Lord moving some people to higher levels in the spirit. I see some people right now that the Lord is moving to a higher level in the spirit. I see some people here now. Right now, you are accessing a ladder. You are climbing a ladder in the spirit. God, by His power, is moving you to a higher level. One more time. Habakkuk chapter 3. Let's see what the Lord has for us in His word, and then we'll pray. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive. Revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. So every time revival comes, you can consider it to be an extension of the mercy of God to awaken the things that once was but now are dead. And I want to pray this prayer in verse 2 for somebody, that God will revive His works in your life. God will revive the move of His hand in your family. God will revive His move in this city. God will revive His move in this nation. He says, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. That's what happens in revivals. God brings the people to the emphasis and the consciousness of what God is about to do or what God is doing in that season. Psalms 110 verse 3 in King James translation now. Psalms 110 verses 3. It says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. I think that's all I needed from that verse. What will happen in the day of his power? The people shall be what? The people shall be what? The people shall be what? I don't know about you, but I want to see the move of God in my time. I want to see the power of God again. Thank God for what we have seen. But brothers and sisters, if you know that God cannot be exhausted, you will keep the past in the past and begin to press for more. I want to see God use me to wrought signs and wonders. I want to see the name of God glorified in my family because of the display of his power. I'm tired of seeing people who mock God in the lives of his people. I'm tired of seeing believers who live lives that are objects of mockery simply because there are things in their life that they are yet to see God do or manifest. I want to see God visit his church again. I want to see a time where churches will be on fire for God. I hate to see lukewarmness in churches. I hate to see believers lukewarm. I hate to see believers spiritually lazy or dead. I want the church of fire and vibrancy. Something like in the days of Elijah, when God was moving, and the Bible says fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, consumed the altar, consumed the water, and the people cried out and bowed their heads and said, the Lord is God. Anything that will make mankind as pompous and as proud as they are to acknowledge God is what I want to see. And I don't know if I'm the only one that is hungry for that. I don't know about you, but I'm passionate about God though. Me, this God, I didn't follow him to joke. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm naturally a passionate person. In a conversation, I can be reserved. But when it comes to work, action, I'm a passionate person. Anything I put myself into, I am passionate about it. If I was in the world, my goodness, I would have been so passionate about the world. By now, I would have had gangs in different states. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when I signed up to follow God, I decided I would do it well, not pretend. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I didn't follow anybody to know God. I saw the cross and I responded to him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why somebody's lack of passion does not disturb me. I only pity them. You don't follow anybody to enter the kingdom. You follow your convictions. You follow the Jesus that is revealed to you. So when you enter the kingdom, the Bible says the just shall live by his faith. You hear what I'm saying? So your passion for God will have to be self-induced. You'll have to stir it up from inside. You are the one that will sustain the hunger that you have to see God in his power lifted up and manifested in your life. You are the one that will sustain the passion enough to see God manifested through you. Nobody will do it for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All this follow Christianity that we are doing, it has not gotten us anywhere. You follow people to church. You follow people to know God. So everything you do is based on how people are doing it. You will just be in the crowd. But God wants you to come out of the crowd and meet him in the cloud. Israel gathered before Mount Sinai, but God called only Moses. He said, come to me. How many of you will God call in this season? By call, an encounter. By call, another revelation of himself. I don't know why the church is dying. Our hunger for the things of the spirit is dying so much that even witches and wizards are experiencing more revivals in their coven than the church. An average believer is not hungry for the supernatural. When was the last time you saw the power of God manifested through you? When was the last time people around you looked at you and wondered whether you are... Somebody told me this morning, he said that he saw somebody's status that they wrote about me. They say, Apostle, the what? What do you call it? The weather bender. Apostle, they bend weather. Because I prayed here last week, I said rain will fall, and rain fell in the night. I went to preach in NCCF on Friday. I told them I was the one who stopped the rain from falling. And I told them that the rain will not fall until after my second ministration on Saturday. And the rain gathered yesterday as if it will fall. But a man had spoken. A man that knew God. A man that was hungry to see the power of God. Friends, we are in the season of the power of God like you have never seen before. And when we finished the meeting, I told them the rain will fall. And the rain fell. When last the people, now that is not to blow my trumpet. No. I've seen more of the supernatural than they can count how many people here. Are you hearing? Every day that my life is a mystery to myself. And it's not because I'm anointed an apostle. Sometimes it's just because somebody's hungry enough to see God move through their life. You carry the kind of Christianity where you just follow, go to church, come back, depend on your man of God. You may never in your lifetime see God do anything. It will only be to you that your God is dead. But I don't know about you, my God is not dead. You know, there's a film like that. God's not dead. God is not dead. My God is not dead, though. He's alive. That's what happens in a season of revival. When God begins to reignite a hunger, a passion in the heart of his people. When last did you wake up one day and say, you know what? I think I need more of God. So today I keep food aside. When last did you wake up one day? There is food to eat. There are good clothes to wear. You have everything natural that should make you happy. But you are not just happy. And like David, the reason why you are not happy is because you are saying, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longeth for you. How much of God do you long for to see? Some of you come from families where witchcraft walks around on broad daylight. And you still want to live sarcastic Christianity. You come to church late. You go to prayer meeting late. Even your personal prayer time, you go there late. You are not serious about God. And witches are walking around with their chest in your family. Some of you come from families where if you are the only one that they are hoping will rise. And as you are like this, the only hope in the family, nobody has risen. You are the one they are hoping will rise and you are not serious. You are not serious about God. You are not serious about yourself. Can I tell you something? Spiritual laziness will lead to all kinds of laziness. It's the truth. If you find a man lazy in other things, he's actually lazy spiritually. I didn't come to insult anybody. I came like the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I came with a John the Baptist anointing this season that the church must begin to cry for revival. I'm hungry for the move of God. I tell you what I've seen God do from January to June is nothing compared to what I want to see him do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want a time where in this place they will bring people who are about to die from the hospitals. That the hospital will boldly sign somebody from the ICU to come for our meeting because they know that the person will be resuscitated. Until we get to that point, I'll keep pressing. This has been my passion in the last 15 to 16 years. And it has not stopped one day. How many Christians even sustain passion that long for God? That's why we need revival. Some people, their love for God and everything they feel about God is seasonal. No, sir. You can't do that in a world that is decaying in wickedness and in evil. You can't do that. No. If you know what is happening in the kingdom of darkness and the massive revival and recruitment that is going on, the devil is on rampage everywhere. It's like a loose cannon. The devil is looking for people in this generation. Young people, children. He's recruiting witches from the age of 4, 5, 6. There is an urgency in the kingdom of darkness. It's only in church that we sit down and think everything is okay. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I won't follow a generation and decay in spiritual laziness. No. No. There's a passion I have. That's why I followed God. a God that revealed himself in Jesus Christ, I want him to reveal himself again to me. You know what Paul said when he was making his defense before Festus and Agrippa? He said, "At in the fullness of time, when it pleased the Lord, who revealed his son to me. He didn't become an apostle because they laid hands on him. No, he had a personal encounter with God. When last did you encounter God? I'm asking you. When last did a supernatural activity happen in your life? When last did God walk into your prayer room? Some of you don't even have prayer room. You have a room where you keep all your old shoes, your old clothes, your old bags, your everything. You dump all your butt to make one room for God. The reason is because you don't even have a room for him in your heart. So how can you have a room for him in your 4-bedroom flat? When last in your prayers did you sense the ministry of angels around you? Why do you walk around natural? Why have we reduced our Christian experience to a natural phenomenon? Is this what Jesus died for? Look around you. Look at you. Look at your life. Look at the church. Is this what Jesus died for? Is this how powerless Christianity has been or become? It has become so powerless now that there is nobody is drawing the line between holiness and what is not holy, between sacred and secular. Everything goes in the church. People carry all kinds of lawlessness and come into the church and say, "Yeah, it's not by that, it's by the heart." The reason why they even have the guts to do that is because there's no revival in church. There's no move of the power and the presence of God. See, if you go to a church where God comes every day, everybody will mind their business. Everybody will maintain. The Bible says when Ananias and Sapphira fell down and died without anybody touching them, the Bible says fear gripped the church. I'm not saying that people should fall down and die again these days, no. But I'm just saying there should be enough evidence of God in our lives that should put some sanity on the people of this world. Let them know that they cannot do that nonsense near you. Some of you are in offices where they have so swallowed your Christianity with worldliness that you even hide the fact that you are a believer. You are not proud of it. You don't boast of it. You hide it because you are afraid. Why? Because there is a contamination of corruption everywhere. Yet the Bible says that you are a light. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill that cannot be hidden. Some of you enter your office and you are afraid of people gossiping you, when light has become darkness. God sent you to that office so that you can advance the kingdom and the government of God in that place. But you are the one now that is being threatened. Any corrupt deal, they threaten you. If you don't join, you are in trouble and you have to join. And after you join, you say, "Lord, forgive me for this. I don't want to lose my job." All of this compromise and cutting of corners is a sign that we need revival again. When last did your 4-year-old son see a vision? I'm not saying he prayed, though. But because of the weight of prayer and priesthood that you have gathered, you, when last did your 5-year-old daughter speak in tongues? "You're all I need. You're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. Oh, you're all I need. You're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need." A few months ago, I was in Abuja on a Sunday morning preparing to leave and return back to Maiduguri. A couple came to visit me. Man and his wife and their son who is 5-year-old. All the while we're having our conversation, he was just playing game on the phone, jumping up and down. No problem. When it was time for prayers, both of them knelt down. They didn't talk to him. They didn't say, "We want to," you know that kind of thing you do to children. "We want to pray. Close your eyes." They knelt down. I laid hands on them and prayed. When I opened my eyes after the prayer, the boy was speaking in tongues. he kept the phone somewhere. I was 5 years old. There's an atmosphere you should carry as a believer. It's not just for men of God, no. There's something about you that must be different and must be so distinct that people can sense it. I'm telling you, the boy, when we finished, he couldn't move. He was just shaking till they left that place. 5 years old. And I remember, in fact, I didn't let me even share the whole story. When they began to question him, what? He said he had a vision. He said he saw somebody while we were praying, that when I stood and I laid hands on his parents, he saw a man stood behind me, very big and tall. The head went through the roof. I said, yeah, you have to see the angel that follows me. What is it about your life that influences the environment around you? I came to awaken us, oh. I came to awaken us. And that's the message all through this season. We have to be awakened and get ready for the move of God. God is about to move. Unbelievers know it more than believers. Because we have accepted a confused, a shortchanged and a dead Christian experience. That all of God that we know is in miracle service, and we think God only moves in miracle service. No way. No. Habakkuk says, revive your walk. Can you pray in 1 minute? I don't know what you should pray for, but there's a stirring in my spirit. Can you cry to God for a move again, a move of his power again? For some of us, just because of the little things we are seeing that God is doing in our lives, we think that that is all that God can do. Can you say, Lord, more of your power again. More of your presence in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. We cry out, more love, more power, more of you in my life. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 and 23. This season, everything about your life that has been dead will come back alive. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, so revival is timely, is seasonally. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 23. And Jesus, verse 23. He says, and Jesus went about all Galilee. One man went around teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And what? Healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. When you read verse 24 and 25, you realize this was the reason why people gathered to him. Wherever he was, they pressed to him. People are not fools, so let me tell you. They will go to where they see results. And if we don't show them that our God is alive by the results that is in our lives, by the results of our hands, they will look for God elsewhere. What is revival? Number one, revival is God. Revival is God moving in a certain direction. God moving in a certain direction. In order to awaken a people. God moving in a certain direction in order to awaken a people. Revive his work. Revive his work. Review an order. review an order or introduce something upon the earth. Revival is God moving in a certain direction in order to awaken a people, revive his work, review an order, or introduce something upon the earth. God moving in a direction. I told you that God is a moving God. Movement is one of the signs, the basic signs of a living thing. Huh? Mr. Ninjadi. M stands for what? Movement. That's how you know something is alive. It moves. Either on the spot or there is a motion. And our God can only prove that he's alive because he's a moving God. I told you that when you spell God from the beginning, the first two letters is G-O. Go. God is a going God. When you spell it from behind, the first two letters, D-O, do. God is a doing God. He's in motion. He's up to something. He's doing something. Whether you are concerned or not, whether you are interested or not, whether you are serious with him or not, he's doing something. It is in your best interest to partner with him. You see, most of the time, it's we that even need God. All the time. We that need him, we are unserious. We that need him, we play with him. We that need him, we casualize everything about God. We commonize everything about God. Do you know that even your coming to church can show whether you have become a religious person or a Christian? People that come to church late, if they don't have a consciousness of the fact that their God is a living person and they are going on an appointment with him, they are going because all of us, they go pneumatic. What if your blessing came at the beginning of the service? He's a going God. He's a moving God. He's doing something. Believe me. He's doing something. That's why when you sleep, you are having dreams. Even when you are sleeping, your body is unconscious, but you are still seeing things happening in the realm of the spirit. God is up to something good in your life. Revival is God moving in a certain direction in order to awaken a people. That's why he moves. To stir us up, to wake us up from our sleep. I think it's Ephesians chapter 5 that says, awake ye that slumber and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. You don't arise, the light will not come. That light can be the vision of the future. That light can be a revelation of God again that will plunge you into another season. But you must awake. Number two, what is revival? Revival is a reawakening or resuscitation. I'm sure you can spell resuscitation. Ask your neighbor. And if you are alone watching in your room, ask the Holy Ghost or consult your dictionary. Revival is a reawakening or resuscitation of spiritual activities designated by God as the responsibility of the church. I'll take it again. Revival is a reawakening or resuscitation of spiritual activities designated by God as the responsibility of the church. Spiritual activities that God has designed that the church must operate, must function in. As our responsibility to bring heaven on earth, to represent and manifest the government of God on the earth. That's why he left us here. That's why Jesus left us here. That we can become the Jesus to this world. That we can display the government, the power, the glory of God. All that God has to manifest is left for the church to manifest it. Now there are spiritual activities that God has designed that should prepare us to manifest these realities of Christ. Like prayers, like fastings. For some of you, when last did you fast? You have a man of God that if he do like this, rain will fall. If he speak, it will happen. What's the need to fast? That's really when you need to fast. That's really when you need to fast. Help this guy. Hallelujah. spiritual activities like studying the Bible. Somebody told me, I think it was Bishop who was telling me about a pastor, Pastor Chris Delvan. Somebody told me about Pastor Chris Delvan that one day he gathered, one season, years ago, he gathered his people to the church. Listen, and you know what they were doing? They would play audio Bible from one chapter to the other. Everybody sat down. He would sit them down for 1 hour, 2 hours. They are just, Bible is just playing. And I said, that's good though, because the way we are going, even deacons in church don't know the word of God again. Are you hearing me? Even deacons in church don't know the word of God again. As a pastor, the prayer request that comes from people tells me the level of knowledge that they have in God's word. It's not everything God speaks to me about. I can look at a prayer request, and as I'm reading it, what I'm just seeing is a scripture flashing my mind that counters that report. But why can a believer not see it? The question is, when last did they read their Bible? So revival is when God begins to reawaken and resuscitate spiritual activities in the life of an individual and in the life of the church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many of us are spiritually weak because we are lacking in spiritual activities. When last did you pray? When last did you stay all the night? I remember when we went to Abuja for Glory Summit. You will not believe that as tired as I was after that kind of meeting, I won't sleep sometimes till 3, 4 a.m. The house I was staying, there was a dining table. I would sit there because I know if I go upstairs, there's AC in the room. If I go there and lie on that bed, that's the end. And the devil can in the night, because it's when men slept that the devil goes to sow seeds. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The devil can go in the night and scatter what God has started. So no sleeping. In fact, many of the Sundays when we finish here, you think I go to sleep? No. That word that has been preached to you, in the night, the devil can come and steal it from your mind. So I go and sit on your head, all of you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now that's my requirement, not just as a believer, but as a man of God. What is the required level of spiritual activity for your life? Because that is what makes you walk with power. There are many Christians in church that have never experienced what it means to carry the power of God. God is reviving that in this season. A reawakening or resuscitation of spiritual activities designated by God as the responsibility of the church. Number three. Revival is a restoration from a state of spiritual decline to vibrancy. Restoration from a state of spiritual decline to vibrancy. From a state of spiritual decline. That's what can happen in a church. That's what can happen in a family. That's what can happen in a community. A state of spiritual decline. When the things of God no longer make sense to people. When people are no longer conscious about what God is doing. When God is no longer the news. When people have other distractions that are bogus enough to take their heart away from God. And then God begins to restore from spiritual decline to spiritual vibrancy. How vibrant is your prayer life? How vibrant is your passion for God? How many churches do we have in our communities that are vibrantly seeking God? Many churches, but less of the power of God, less of the glory of God. Huh? Churches plenty in a city, and yet some disgruntled demonic and satanic agents can stand on their altar in a season of rainy season. They will hold the rain will not fall. I can't be in that city and it continues. No. If all the believers want to sleep, let them sleep. Including you, yeah. If you want to sleep, you continue sleeping. But I can't be in a city and some unscrupulous elements called agents of the devil will determine the atmosphere. No way. No way. And this is only the beginning, you know. The Bible says that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Did you read the next verse? He said that I will show forth signs in the heavens above. That's why this thing, and we have just started. In the days ahead, you will see many things. I will make sure they find out that there is somebody here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No way. Somebody told me about a politician who they took to one of the witch doctors in this town. Hey. You know, many of you just think that there's nothing happening in Maiduguri. Some of us, we live by the mercy of God. Some of us, the covering of your man of God, sufficient enough, you are just there. May God remove that covering small. And may some arrows hit you so that you can come alive. No, because sometimes some attacks can make you wake up. No, is it true? You will not die, but you wake up. When you have felt an arrow, or if you know what it means to carry a spiritual arrow on your chest, you wake up. In this city, they took a politician to meet one of the witch doctors. And they said that as they were introducing the politician to him, he did as if he was not looking at them. He was counting his chest beat. He was just counting. He was standing, counting it. They were trying to talk to him. Oh, this person, honorable member of this and this. When he finished, he just left it in the air. And then he shook the hand of the man. Yeah, yeah. Yamuke. Spoke outside to the guy. The thing was on the air. They finished talking. He went back and picked it. You, even a fly cannot suspend on the air. I get this service, I came to push something inside of your spirit. Some of you live in neighborhood where people die every month. Some of you live in communities where they people die as if somebody's eating them. Can find a family where they bury 4 people in 1 year. As if there are people who are just, is point and kill. As if everybody in that family is like fish. Fish is inside a bowl. You know when you go to price catfish in the market, and then somebody just comes in and say, I like this one, pick this one. That's how people are dying in your family. Things that you can settle on your knees. Things that by just a reawakening by one man, everything. May God revive us in this city. May God revive us in this season. The restoration from a state of spiritual decline to vibrancy. Number 4. Revival is the move of God's Spirit on earth in the midst of His people. The move of God's Spirit on earth in the midst of His people to prepare them for something new. A move of God's Spirit on earth in the midst of His people to prepare them for something new. Where is the chief protocol? So you guys have to be alert now, okay? But don't worry, nothing will happen to him. He will come fine. All right? Nothing will happen to him. He will be fine. What did I say revival is? The move of God's Spirit on earth in the midst of His people to prepare them for something new. So before God does something, He begins to move. God has a formula. He has a technology by which He moves. That's why when we come here, before we hear the word, we worship, we pray. We are trying to activate the move of the Spirit. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the water. Then God said, so before God does anything new, His Spirit will move. And that's what revival is. Revival is not a new thing. Revival is what prepares us to experience a new thing. Now, even the revival, many people are lacking of it. And so God has to reawaken us. He has to bring a move of His Spirit. There are seasons where we enter and you begin to see supernatural manifestations of God. Those things are just signs. Don't focus on them. Focus on what God is about to do. He's about to do something that we have never seen. That's why He's performing all these miracles. Most times we focus on the miracles and we just clamp around and say, oh, you see what happened that day for church? Apostle do like this money appear. It's not about that, sir. God is about to do something eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. That's why he's performing these signs. It's called the move of the Spirit. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it should be. All over the world, there is a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord. As the waters covers the sea. That's what happens when you are praying and God begins to move. In those your silent times of prayer, you feel heat on your body. You hear breeze. All those supernatural activities, dreams, visions, all those things are signs that God is about to do something. He's trying to awaken your consciousness. He needs participation with you. But many Christians are just dead. Okay, I felt it in my body. Let's just go like that. God is about to do something. How many signs do you experience as a believer that you can use to detect what God will do and where he will do? How do you think we do what we do as ministers? Sometimes the sign can be very faint and we just know that God will move. I've been to meetings where from the beginning of the meeting, I will lean on the pulpit and be gisting with that. I say, God will do this, God will do that. They'll even be prizing the amen with me. Amen, amen. By the time the meeting finished, half of the church is on the floor. How did I know? If I depended on the atmosphere I met, you think God would have moved? No. I was able to pick the signal, pick the sign in the spirit. How many of you can pick the sign of the move of God? You have been in church for 5 years, 10 years. You are baptized. You don't even know the basics of the move of God. The Bible says Elijah was caused to come out from the cave by God. And there was a wind that passed, but God was not in the wind. There was earthquake. God was not in the earthquake. There was fire. He saw fire in the previous chapter, yet God was not in the fire. God had to educate the prophet again that this time around, my move is introduced by a still small voice. That's the reason why blessings hang over family. Prophecies hang over families. Because God spoke, yes, but the sign he was giving the family to know he's about to do so they can partner with him. Everybody's dead spiritually. Nobody knows. Today, God will awaken you spiritually. God will open your eyes spiritually. In a whole family, nobody can pick what God is doing. Kai. In Psalm 74 verse 9, he said, we do not see our signs. He said, there is no longer any prophet amongst us who can tell us how long the affliction will continue, how long the reproach will continue, because nobody is spiritually sensitive. And that's why revival is when God begins to move on the earth by his spirit. Just like he's moving on your finances. Just like he's moving around your career. I'm telling you, it's not a move you can pick by natural occurrences. No. The Bible says when men say there is a casting down, that's the season that he's about to lift you. Do you pick it at all? Elijah told Ahab while it was still sunny and dry, he said, get thee up in your chariot. For I hear in my ears the sound. He heard it before he saw it. I told you that in creation, you know, physics told us that light travels faster than sound. But in spiritual science, sound travels before light. That's why Elijah heard the sound of the abundance of rain before there was even a cloud. That's why in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light. Which one came first? Was it light? No. God said. There are some dreams and visions you see. You know that the Spirit of God is moving in my family this season. God is about to do something. And you position yourself. Listen, there are blessings in the kingdom that come in seasons. You need to learn how to take advantage of it. By now, anybody, any serious farmer should have gone to farm. By now. Imagine a farmer waiting till end of August to farm. Especially for this part of the world where rain is only 4 months of the year. And I'm thinking of extending it to November. Just because I want to. If you don't like it, get your own power. If you don't like it, get your own power. Press and get your own and do what you want. No, for no reason we can wake up. And there was a time one of our fathers in this nation, during Ramadan, when they were coming to the end of their fast, he said it in his message, I think it was in the Holy Ghost service. He said, I told God that the moon should not show up yet. And their fast extended. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Revival is the move of God's Spirit on earth in the midst of his people to prepare them for something new. Open your mouth and say after me, this is a prophecy for your life. Say, God is doing something new and tangible in my life. I can see it. I can feel it. I can touch it. I can hear it by faith. Number five, revival is a restoration of the state of God. Revival is a restoration of the state of God consciousness over an individual, a people, nation, or generation. A restoration of the state of God consciousness. God consciousness. God consciousness. When God begins to restore the consciousness of him in an individual, in a family, in a community, in a territory. That's why next year we are going to Marama for a crusade. Don't worry, you will hear the gist. For those of you who are afraid, you will hear the gist. We'll go and do 2 days. When we finish there, we'll come to Bill, do 2 days and come back. Hit that southern Brunei. Pack all the altars of darkness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can just vex and reach there on the first day and say, Father, let rain fall this night and let thunder visit every shrine. The next day, all of them will come out. That's the day where some of you, your family members that are in UK, they will experience freedom because a shrine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? Because it's a season of revival. Are you ready to move when God is moving? You are glorious, so glorious. You are glorious, so glorious. You are glorious, so glorious in your way. You are glorious, hey, you are glorious, so glorious. Restoration of God consciousness on your campus, in your room. Those of you that have roommates that can play secular music from morning till night. Sometimes I don't blame them. They've not just seen enough of the God you claim to profess. Yeah. Your God is still on a sticker that you put on your Bible. I am a member of Pneumatech. Touch not. Okay, no problem. Now prove the touch not. Your God is still on him. Carry an atmosphere of the power of God. I remember when I was in 100 level, I didn't have a room that time. So one of my friends who was going for IT, he was in 400 level engineering. He left after first semester and he said I should come and stay in his room. The day he brought me to introduce me to his roommate, when I went there, I saw them drinking Zobo. I didn't know that they put weed inside the Zobo. One of those guys drank the Zobo 3 bottles and he became so high. He was high for 1 week. In fact, he was so high that he after exams, he traveled high. one of the other roommates had to travel with him. In fact, the roommate was telling us when he came back that when they stopped, was he at Bauchi? They stopped where? They stopped to eat or so at a filling station or something. The bus had not stopped completely. The guy opened the door, came down, walked straight to a shop, opened the fridge and took, it was high. I'm telling you. I said, is this the kind of room I will stay? The next time I came, the door was locked, but from inside. You know what that means? I said, I'm in trouble today. And I'm going to stay with them for a whole semester. So I came for that semester. We continued morning, class, evening, read, night, prayers. I will come sometimes. The door is locked from inside. In fact, there was one time I didn't come back that night. It was the next day I came. I didn't know a lady slept there. But something happened one day. I came back in the night after prayers. And as I was approaching the door, the net, you know, it had net. D3 room 40. That's the room. Somebody from inside opened the net for me. Normally, I will not go till one of them wake up from the sleep. And if God bless me that day, all of them were high. I'm there. It's either you remain there till somebody somebody wants to ease themselves and they wake up and then open the gate, or you just go and read and don't waste your time. This guy opened the door. I entered. When I woke up the next day, everybody had gone out. This guy was still around. He served me food. I ate. Then he sat down and started confessing his sins. By the end of that semester, everybody in that room returned back to church. One was in Living Faith. He was part of the technical team. He went and joined them back. The other one went back to RCF. The other one went back to CFI. Everybody returned back. Restoration of God consciousness. It's not really their fault. It's you. You've not shown them enough of God. There's a God you can carry. When somebody is smoking enters your room, they will hate cigarettes. Papa Jonathan Shokoya was sharing the testimony that a woman brought her son to church, family worship. This guy is a drug addict. They have taken him to rehabilitation homes twice. He has spent months there. Nothing. He will go back to it. Go back to smoking. She brought him to church that day tired. After the service, brought him to Apostle. Say, Apostle, this guy has been with this team for years. We have taken him to this and that. Apostle just said, come and hug me. He hugged the young man. The guy fell under the power. When he went back and tried to smoke, he was coughing. No prayer. He just hugged him. That was how the taste for cigarettes died. Drug addiction died. This guy is on fire for God. God consciousness. Carry God, and even the devil on your street will know. I'm here to provoke you this night, oh. This is not about, oh, I'm in the choir, oh, I'm in the ushering. Na lie. It's about every one of us fulfilling our mandate. Are you ready to pray? I want you to take note of this before we pray. Revival is seasonal. Note these few things about revival. I've explained what revival is. Note these few things. Number one, revival is seasonal. Number two, that means it happens according to times. Number two, revival is part of God's program. It's part of God's program. God will always be in the business of bringing revival when he's about to do something. It's part of his program on the earth, over an individual and over a people. Number three, revival can be experienced on the following levels. Number one, individually, territorially, nationally, and generationally. Revival can be experienced individually. As an individual, you experience revival in your prayer life, revival in your hunger for the word, revival in your appetite for the things of God. A territory can experience revival, and that's what we are clamoring for. A nation can experience revival like it happened to Nineveh. When Jonah went to preach against Nineveh and their sin, the Bible says the king declared a fast, even to an animal. Everybody and children fasted, and God averted the issue. Revival can be experienced nationally. Revival can be experienced generationally. Listen to this. A generation that discovers, values, and pursues God's will for their time. A generation that discovers, values, and pursues God's will for their time is the generation that God works with. Let me say it again. A generation that discovers, values, and pursues God's will for their time is the generation that God will work with. A generation that God, that discovers, values, and pursues the will of God is the generation God will work with. So Gen Z, if you like, forget about God and face technology. God will leave you to another generation. And you don't want to see a generation without God. I'm telling you, you is more than Corona. I'm talking to Gen Z. Social media generation. Technology generation. Oh God, oh. Oh God, oh. Me, I'm not in Gen Z now. Gen Z is from those who are 20 years down. That's Gen Z. You know, they have a lot of energy. They are alive. They want to experiment. They want their parents to allow them, free them. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, oh. In all your pursuit, pursue God, oh. God can leave that generation and Satan will mess them up and wait for another generation that cares about God. It will not be in my time. It will not be in my time. What are the secrets to revival? That's actually the topic of the message, secrets to revival. And then we'll pray. What are the secrets of revival? You remember this song? In my life, in my life, I want to see your grace. I want to see your power. In my life, in my life, I want to see your grace. I want to see your power. Secrets to revival. This is the right attitude to experience the move of God on any level. Four, and then we'll pray. Number one, brokenness. Marushka reketelo mohosaya. Mangrate ko sukratele mongrusku piliviandai. When you see me speaking in tongues like this in the middle of my message, I'm not just speaking in tongues, I'm seeing something. Brokenness. What is brokenness? Brokenness is coming to a state of humility. A state of humility, lowliness, and emptiness without God. When an individual comes to a state of humility, lowliness, and emptiness without God. In other words, coming to a point where you realize the helplessness of yourself and how much of God you need. Brokenness. Brokenness is what the Bible refers to in Matthew chapter 5 verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Come to a point where you realize that in yourself, you can't help yourself. You are empty. Empty, and you desire more of God to fill you. That's a state of brokenness. Brokenness is also coming to a point where you realize the sinfulness of your flesh and the need for the grace of God. Second Chronicles chapter 33. Let me show you an example of brokenness in the Bible. Because one of the things that is scarce these days in church is brokenness. One of the things scarce among families is brokenness. We have very few broken people. Let me show you an example of brokenness. Second Chronicles chapter 33, verse 9 to 17. This is the story of a king called Manasseh. Manasseh was a spoiled brat. He became a king at 12 years. He didn't know the God of his father, Hezekiah. And when he became a king, he made Judah to sin. He entered into idolatry. Chapter 33, verses 9 to 17. It says, so Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations from whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. That means they did evil even beyond the evil nations. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. Go on. Therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks. God sent another nation to come and invade. They captured the king, bound him with chains, hand and foot, put hook on his nose and his mouth, carried him, because that was God's judgment, and carried him off to Babylon. Let's read on. Now, when he was in affliction, watch this, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. I told you, brokenness is a state of humility, humility of heart. When he saw that all hope was lost for him, when he was captured and taken to Babylon, and Judah was plundered, the Bible says he humbled himself before God and prayed to him, and he received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. God turned his captivity around because he was broken. Listen, if you are living in a family or a community where you know that evil has been going on for a long time and God is angry and about to bring judgment, one thing that can turn the hand of God, brokenness. The Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. How many believers can be humble, broken enough to go before God and confess the fact that they need him more than they need themselves, and that they cannot help themselves? One of the reasons why we have a lot of problems in families, in marriages, and in churches, because you have family members, you have husbands and wives that are not broken. Let me give you an example of a person who is not broken. When they tell you your fault and you try to defend yourself, you are not broken. No matter, even if you are right or wrong, when the first thing that comes out is defense, oh God, you are not broken. Doesn't matter if you speak in capital letter tongues, you are not broken. There are many husbands that are not broken. Even when they are wrong and their wives tell them, honey, this is not how it should be like this. Sorry will never come out of their mouth. In fact, some of them will say, in our village, man, no, they talk sorry. You have become a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, ba? Lack of brokenness. That's the reason why we have many proud people in church. We have many people in church who think that God and men should honor them because of the car they drive. We have many people in church who think that God should be the one waiting for them because of, and I don't know, because of what? Very few people in church are broken. You have people in church, you have workers in church that even if you correct them 100 times, they will never change. You know why? They are not broken. There is still pride in their heart. And I pray for you that in this season, God will deliberately deal with pride. No, I've never seen an anointed person remain anointed with pride. Now lie, except he's lying. Except what he calls anointing is not anointed. You want to rise in the anointing, you must be broken. As you rise higher in God, your eyes will be open to see the helplessness of yourself. You will see how that if not for the grace of God, your life is prone to mistakes and error. And that is what will give you compassion for people. That's what will give you a large heart for people. Because even you yourself, you know you can be a victim of the same. That's what happens when a man is broken. Manasseh, out of brokenness, turned the hands of God. And God took him from captivity. But there are many families going through captivity, financial captivity, marital captivity, demonic captivity. If God can find one person that will be broken and go before God. Do you know that that's the reason why you fast and pray? Fasting was primarily meant to issue a heart of brokenness. Bring you to, you know when you are hungry, at first you will become angry. And then later on when you see that the food is not coming because of the fast, you now become humble. You don't even have strength to boss anybody around. So you become calm. Isn't it? That state of heart is what God needs. That's why you fast. But there are people now who have learned how to fast and they are still proud. Any spirituality that does not affect your heart is just religiosity. Let me tell you the truth. And if you are practicing that, please repent this night. Any spirituality that does not affect your heart, as you grow in God, something will begin to, you will become more broken, more humble, because you are seeing more of your helplessness. You are seeing more of your sinfulness and how that you need to depend on the grace of God. Lack of brokenness is the reason why many people will not enter into kingdom wealth, because God is already seeing a potential terrorist. Yes, so I gave you a small Toyota. See the time you are coming to church. When I make it a Ford Explorer or a Ford Edge Jeep, that means you come when they share grace. I'm telling you, many people are robbed of their spiritual inheritance because of lack of brokenness. Pride! Nothing has inhibited the destinies of men. In fact, I believe that anybody who is a man, you should be very active about this thing called brokenness, because as men, we are naturally proud. Ego. Ego is sitting inside there with muscles. Ego. Even as a pastor. I'm talking tonight. Put me on key F. I want to sing a song. Brokenness. Brokenness is all I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Brokenness, brokenness is what you want for me. For me. Let me sing it again. Brokenness, brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Brokenness, brokenness is what you want for. From me, so take my heart, take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, take my life, transform, take my will, Lord, take my will, conform me to yours, to yours, oh Lord. How many times, hear me? Do you know there are some times I come out from my retreat, I don't feel like talking to anybody. See the phone there, but I can't even on it. That when you continually surrender before God, some of us are so full of ourselves that God has a hard time penetrating us. No preacher can ever penetrate you. You will just, to you it's just one good sermon and you go home. Preachers for you are just celebrities. Oh, this one is my preacher. Oh, he preach well. But nothing they say enters you because of lack of brokenness. My brother, you are in trouble if you are in that state. God cannot use you. It's only one person that can use you like that, the devil. Brokenness. Surrender before him. Psalms 51 verse 17. He said the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. He didn't say God needs ram, goat, cow. No, and if you go anywhere and they tell you that, it's a lie. If God wants a sacrifice, he will tell you he needs a sacrifice from you. But God's greatest sacrifice is what? A broken heart and a contrite spirit. When will a man come before God in a state of helplessness? God is fed up with our pride. He's fed up. God was so mad with a prophet called Balaam. God told him at first, don't go, don't follow them, don't go to Balaam. But because the guy's heart was on riches, was on gold, he wanted to go and show he can prophesy. So that Balak, because that's why many people enter ministry now, is all about show. That's why they are looking at how much view they have. Me, I want to have power before God. I don't care how popular I am online. Alright? On the day of adversity, it's not popularity that will save. Now who get power? Is who knows God's address, God's phone number, God's hotline, and can call God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not popularity that wakes the dead back to life. It's not popularity that delivers a family from poverty. I don't care how many views. I want to have power with God. If God says yes for me from heaven, that's enough. All of this social media ministerial thing we are doing is empty. So you see, we have a lot of followership and Nigeria is going the way it's going. People can wake up in government and implement nonsense. And nobody in the church can stand up and talk, including those that have thousands of views. And am I speaking against that? No. I'm just saying we are focused. We are majoring on the minors. I'm minoring on the majors. This is not how this country was when people like Archbishop Benson Dowsa was alive. But you know how to get there. Brokenness. Brokenness. Pride will not take us anywhere. You will never see revival until you are broken before God. Even your own personal life cannot experience revival until you are broken. When last did you go before God and allow God to search your heart? No, we are used to most times the only reason why we pray is because we need something. And God is almost me. I'm sick and tired of people who anytime you mention prayer, all they are looking for is what they can get from God. Is prayer no longer about fellowship? Is it no longer about intimacy? Are you not interested in becoming like Christ? When was the last time you went before God and said, search my heart? When last did you acknowledge that there's pride in my heart? There's pride. There's pride. You see a pastor sinning anyhow on the pulpit, sleeping with ladies in his church, and he has the guts to still stand and preach. When you should step down from that pulpit and go and lie down somewhere for 21 days until God tells you to stand up. Any day that I leave my house and God is not coming with me, I will never preach. Thank God we have pastors here, they can preach. It's not just preparing messages, no. You don't know how many hours I stay in the presence of God and begging. Can that presence go with me again? You think people want your fine face? You think preaching is about eloquence? When you meet people with affliction, is it eloquence that will heal them? If they bring a mad person to church, is it eloquence that will heal them? One of those days after our service, at the line here, a woman, a Muslim, with hijab, brought her son. It was during fasting, when they were fasting. Shouldn't she have gone to her malams, brought her son there? He had epilepsy, brought him for deliverance. You want to carry the power of God? You want to see revival? Brokenness. Any worship team or choir that doesn't carry people with broken hearts, you have seen a field that Satan will use very well. You know that was his department, music. Brokenness. Before you come and sing that song, lie down in the presence of God first. Lie down there. There are times I come out from prayer and fasting. I don't even feel like switching on my phone. I don't even feel like talking. God just does something to your heart. You get to a point where it's you can't explain it. It's something that you should experience. Humility before God. And not just a one-time thing, but it keeps growing. That's the kind of heart God will look at and bring revival. Number two, repentance. 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 Secrets to revival. Repentance. 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 What is repentance? It's change of mind. A change of the state of your mind. Repentance is a complete U-turn from what you used to do. In fact, when the Bible spoke about repentance, most times it was talking about the people of God. We think that repentance is for unbelievers alone. No, repentance is for believers. Pastors need to repent. Music ministers need to repent. Huh? Repentance. The reason why we are not seeing revival is because we have exchanged the things of God for other things. We have exchanged spirituality for carnality. We must repent. We have exchanged spirituality for materialism. We must repent. Pastors must repent. Many pastors like money too much. Many pastors are already womanizers. Many pastors are already a problem in their own family. They come to church and pretend they are pastors, but they are a problem to their own loved ones. Music ministers must repent. We like money too much. How much? In fact, we found a holified and dignified way for money. I won't charge anything. I won't charge anything. But all your heart, if God should amplify the voice of your heart, you are just shouting, when will he give me something? When will he give me something? You say, I won't charge anything. I won't charge anything. Or you know another humble way they will say it. Just give me anything you want. You are a hireling. You are a hireling. I just caught this part and put it out. To put the camera on me. Because this music minister thing in Nigeria, they talked about it at first. That's gone down, but some have not repented. Recently, I won't mention the name of the person. But God spoke to me recently. And I mentioned the name of a known person in the body of Christ. And the Lord asked me, when last did you hear this person's song in a church? I said, not true. We don't even sing the song again. No. Because money has taken our place, its place in our heart. Mammon, we like money. We are all in it for money. That's the reason why many people cannot consistently serve God through thick and thin. It's money they are looking for. Some people are serving God because they are hoping God will give them a husband. So you see a young lady who prostituted her life in the last 8 years. And now she gave her life to Christ, or she gave her heart to Christ. And she wants God to just clean all the mess of her life for 1 year. And give her a husband who has never dated before. A husband that came, a son of man that came down from heaven. Who has money and everything. And you have been seeing it for 13 years. You need to repent too, and stay repented. I don't know why we think that God, just anything goes with God. That's not the God we serve. Oh. No way. He never changed his standard. Repentance. There are fathers that must repent before God for being a poor expression of being a father. There are fathers that are tyrants. You are supposed to show the love of God to the people around you. What you have shown is another thing that God doesn't even have. There are mothers that must repent from stealing from chop money. Yes. Don't say, ew. As small as that thing was, what was it about Ananias and Sapphira? What was it? What was it that God was so angry? They sold the land, brought part of the money. Is there anything bad there? It was not fornication. Ananias did not steal another person's wife. He just brought part of the money, but God was angry. Why? God saw the root of sin. That God is still alive, and I'm glad that that was the God of the New Testament, not the old. Repentance. We don't like repentance message again in church. Any church where you preach repentance one Sunday, two Sundays, everybody will go and not come again. You see, it's better we have 100 people that will go to heaven than 5,000 people that are headed for hellfire. In fact, they are so going to hell that because of them, there's lack of accommodation in hell. They are now creating another hell for them. Thieves will come to church and say amen when they are praying. A Yahoo boy will come to church and open his mouth to say amen. Somebody will prostitute and carry the money of prostitution and give offering and think that God is blind. God is a blind bat whose eyes are on his buttocks, who doesn't see and blesses everything. Are you kidding me? It happens, oh, let me tell you. I told you that the anointing on me this season is John the Baptist. That's the reason why we don't see the power of God. Many of you are supposed to be more anointed than you are, but you can't pay the price of brokenness. You can't pay the price of repentance. What is it that you can't lay before God and repent? And God takes you from there to a higher level. No. You want to keep condoning sin. You want to have one leg with God and one leg with the world. Everybody likes an anointed man of God, but nobody cares to know the price behind it. Repentance. Your family, you need to see the move of God in your family. Somebody must stand and repent before God. That's how revival started in Israel. One man will come and repent before God. Ask Nehemiah. Ask Ezra. They would declare a fast. Gather everybody around. Confess their sin before God. I remember the late Reverend Sunday Daniel. I went to visit him one time in church. In Joss, in his spiritual father's house. So he took me to one portion of the house. A very large room. You will see chairs round the table. He told me that, you know what we used to do here? He said, anytime they come for a conference, or maybe his spiritual father says, all the sons gather from all the nations where you have come. When they come, all of them will go in fasting. 3 days, no food, no water. They will enter that place. The first thing they will do for the whole of the one is confess all their sins. He'll say, all of you, all the women you touched on your missionary journey, confess. Yes, so you travel to preach in South Africa and you held a receptionist's waist like this. He said, come and confess it here. If you really want to go far with God, I'm telling you, God is concerned even about the secret things. You go mention and there. He said, that's where they will confess and cry there for 3 days, no food. I said, no wonder he raised mighty men. The question now is, do we have many people like that today? Imagine if me now, I call all our sons from everywhere and come, they'll say, you're 1K person. Come and confess, hey, you, God, you know they see. So take my heart and mold it. Listen. There's a particular program I used to prepare for every year. I won't tell you the program. We used to do it. I would go for at least 48 to 72 hours. Shut down social media. Shut down the internet. Off your phone. You are not with anybody. Many of you can't stand that for one day. The first day is repentance. That's all I do. I'll lie before God for 4 hours, 6 hours, repenting. Sometimes you even repent for future. There are some miracle services where God will not tell me to do something and I will do it and God will still move. Everybody will be happy but me, something has died inside. When I go back that night, that's how I will lie down before God. Oh, you, how will you know? How will you know? That's how I prepare for that meeting. When I finish that first day, the next day I'm just worshiping before God, praying in tongues. No internet, no phone call. You are all alone, localized in one place. Sometimes God will even say, don't come out, don't see the sun. They're just there. Then when it's the day of the program, I'll come out, wear my clothes. And people think they saw a magician. No. That's the secret. Repentance. And don't just repent before God. Don't go back to those things again. Don't go back. Number three. We're going to pray now. Spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger. Under repentance, write Acts chapter 3 verse 19 to 21. Times and refreshing shall flow from the presence of God. He said, repent and be baptized. And times and refreshing shall flow. The refreshing of his presence, the revival of his presence, you can always see it when you repent. Revelations 2 verse 4 to 5, still under repentance. God spoke to the church of Ephesus. He said, repent. 1 Kings 22. Even Ahab, a demonic king, repented before God, and God said, I won't bring the judgment to you. I will bring it in the days of your son. Repentance. There was one king in the Bible I love so much. His name is Josiah. He came up at a time where Israel had gone into idolatry. The nation of Israel had been captured. It was only Judah. The last two kings before him were evil. Idolatry and evil everywhere. And one day, when he became king, he asked them to open the doors of the house of the Lord. And as they were trying to repair the house of God, so that they can start worshipping there, the priest found a book, and it was the book of the law. And when they read it before the king, he tore his clothes. Because he saw how that they had broken all the laws. He tore his clothes and lay flat, and he sent his people, say, go and meet the prophetess and inquire from God. What will happen to us? The prophetess said, God said, because you repented and humbled yourself, I won't bring the disaster in your time. He didn't stop there. The Bible says he gathered in the next chapter. He gathered all the people of Judah and his princes. And they stood and they took an oath before God. A covenant before God. Some of you, see, because of the evil in the previous generations in your family before you, your own kind of Christianity doesn't need to be like my own. You need to live sacrificially. You need to live like your life. You need to be like a covenant with God. Because nobody before you impressed God in that family. Your father was going to herbalist. Your grandfather was a chief herbalist. You now come and we want to play table tennis with God. If I were you, you are supposed to live like a covenant before God. You are supposed to take an oath that there are things I will not do. You want to follow me? Me, my grandfather was a pastor. He started his Christianity with 7 days dry. Yes. My father is still serving God till today. You can't come and live like me. When you know your father was heading the witches in the village. No. The way your father sold himself to evil, you are supposed to sell yourself to God. Die to God. Except we are not ready for revival. Except we are not ready to see God move. Except you want the devil to play games with your life. Repentance. Show me a man that is always quick to his knees to repent. I show you a man that God will swear to put his power on. That's the thing about David. Check, what did Saul do that David didn't do? It was just one thing Saul didn't do. God said, destroy all the Amalekites. He killed the men, spared the sheep. God said, I'm taking the kingdom from you. David slept with another man's wife. First of all, he didn't go to war, and he was supposed to go to war. Slept with another man's wife during war. Killed the man. Took the man's wife. We don't know whether he paid bride price or not. I'm sure he didn't pay bride price. That's why, what's the name of that? Ahithophel turned against him. Because when you read the Bible very well, if you read 2 Samuel chapter 23, you discover that Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. His son was one of the soldiers amongst David's mighty men who gave birth to Bathsheba. I'm sure David didn't pay bride price. That's why Ahithophel was angry with him. But because he fell before God and repented, God cleaned the whole thing and continued. God didn't even come to punish Israel. Brothers and sisters, learn it to repent before God. If you repent consistently before God, you will find it easy to say sorry before people. Number three, spiritual hunger. Secrets to revival. Hunger. Matthew 5 verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you want to see revival, if you want to see the move of God, you must develop and cultivate spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger is developing interest, unusual interest in the things of the Spirit. Spiritual hunger will make you pursue God, pursue a dimension of God you want to see. Spiritual hunger is what births passionate Christianity. If you find a believer who is not passionate about anything that concerns God, he doesn't have spiritual hunger. And let me tell you the truth. What brings the anointing on your life is first of all spiritual hunger. Anything you don't hunger for in God, you will never see it. Even if they lay 10 hands on your head and pour a gallon of palm oil to anoint you. You know, palm oil is stronger in flow than olive oil. You think you get the anointing by hands laying on you? Nalayo. Hunger. You will have to look for God. Something in you must press after God. Are you hungry for His power? Are you hungry to see the holiness of God? Are you hungry to encounter God? When last did you say, I will not sleep every night this month until God appears to me? Are you hungry for a move of God? No, we have a lot of Christians whose hunger for God is dead. They don't care about God. Psalms 14 verse 3 says, God looks on the sons of men to see. He says, there is no one who seeks God. They don't care about God. It's all they can get for God. Nobody's hungry for God. So God doesn't find any vessel He can put His power in. Because any man you see God use, he started from hunger. Let me tell you how I entered into the miraculous. Especially these creative miracles. Let me tell you how I entered. I was watching a man called Prophet Kobus van Rensburg. He's late now, of blessed memory. Go and watch his videos. The kind of miracles that man worked in, there are few who are working on it in it now. That's the man that God's servant Apostle Selman traveled to South Africa. Fasted 3 days, no food, in the man's conference because he was hungry for the anointing. And Kobus called him out on the third day and said, come, I connect you to a line of generals. Siam. I watched that man for 2 full years, every day. Anytime I on the TV, my family people became tired of me. Anytime I'm sitting on the TV, it's Kobus. Especially when he's doing miracles. I say, now wow, some people, like say, God is, they are doing God a favor. He will walk up to a crippled man, remove, he doesn't even pray. You remove the cripple and say, you are going to walk right now. They will bring people with cancer. People who are dying. In fact, there were 2 occasions where I saw somebody died in his church while he was preaching. He didn't even lay hands. The person woke up back. If you go to his church, they put crutches on the wall. It was recorded that in 10 years of his ministry, 14,000 cripples had walked. You will see crutches, you will see shoes, all kinds of. I said, who be this? So I was watching it. Every time I see it, I'll be hungry. When I go out and lay hands, nothing will happen. I'll be hungry. I come back 2 years straight. If he's holding a conference in South Africa, I'll fast and follow the conference. You think this grace just came like that? Nalayo, it's hunger. Hunger. I remember one time my puppy died. I jacked the puppy like cobras. Laid my hands and prayed. He didn't come back to life. I said, one day they will come back to life. It was hunger. That's how you walk in the anointing. It starts from hunger. At a time, you will be trying. It won't be working. God is seeing how long you are ready to continue. And then one day the grace will come on you. And people think you just showed up overnight. Nah, lie. This hunger, I've been keeping it for almost 20 years. More than half of my life, I've been hungry for God. You will never see the hand of God in your life if you are not hungry. God moves according to our interests. That's the truth. If you are not interested in God, He will not move. Any generation that is not interested in God, God will leave them. Enjoy technology. Enjoy Brazilian hair. Enjoy social media. But until you hunger for me, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Some of you read the Bible and it is boring to you because you are not hungry for revelation. If not, if you were hungry, you would declare a fast tomorrow. No breakfast until I read 5 chapters. Do that for 5 days and then on the 3rd day, bam, light will open for you that will change your life. Hunger will push you to do some things for God. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not talking about that extreme, but I'm talking about action. And I'm talking especially to young people, anybody below 40. Now that you have strength, you have energy, you are allowing people to advise you to serve God. People are up till now, people are still calling you and you are a concern to people. Where is it when you become old that you will become serious with God? I remember those days, hunger will push us to do vigils. All night. Young boys, our mates were selling out to cultism. We didn't have admission. God didn't give us admission. That was enough for us to be angry with God and turn to the world. But we stayed with God. All night, every day. All night. I had one of my friends that time, Jephthah. He's the younger brother of Apostle Shokonya. Ah, that guy, they pray. Jesus. Jesus. I saw somebody that prayed and when we are praying, if we are doing our all night, 1 hour is Thanksgiving. That's how he used to lead us to pray. After speaking to us for 1 hour, he said, we have finished Thanksgiving. Now let's start praying. Some people will grumble and sit on the ground. Now, amongst all of us, one of us is a pastor with Apostle Shokonya. The other one is here. I remember those nights. We'll pray 11 to 5. I'm talking 2012. 2000, when some of you were still in the world. You were still carrying a bottle of Star. 12. So you see me young like this. More than half of my life has been spent in God. 11 to 5. Those days, as instrumentalists, we used to fast and go for service. I was playing keyboard that time. There was sometimes I will fast for 2 days, no food. I will go and play like that in the service. Why? I say, God, I want your presence to move. That anointing followed me to Unimed. Even when I became a preacher, people would still beg me to come and play. It was not about skills. Now, I remember last Sunday when we were coming back from Abuja, I was flying with this guy in the plane. They shared snacks. The guy no greet up. When we were at the departure lounge, I said, oh boy, go and take breakfast. Eat. I say, wow. So no be ole me. So what you are hearing is more than skills. You are hearing something from a deep place. Your hunger will drive you to do something. That's why you see me, I can never be able to stubborn children. Now lie. I've been praying for my children, you don't know how many years. Their future I've been seeing. Even if they come and they want to rebel, in their rebellion they will see an angel. An angel will warn them, go back home. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Those days we used to pray and say, Lord, kill us if you will not give us your glory. Yes, so hunger. I remember the first time I laid hands on a person and she fell under the anointing and spoke in tongues. It was 2013. That was the first time I said, oh boy, this thing they walk. I went back. I said, I'll continue pressing. Then we held one program for teenagers. My friend said, come and pray for them. I remember as I stretched my hand towards the first person, she went down under the power. There was a joy in me. I say, at least we are not pressing just like that. It kept pushing me, pursuing God. Another thing I saw in Kobus's life was the depth of the word he had. The guy would pick scripture from anywhere and be teaching. I say, Nawao. Those days, my breakfast was a Bible and a jar of water from 6 or from 8 a.m. in the morning till 4 p.m., 5 p.m. before eating. You are not fasting, no? That time, my other brother was schooling in Cotonou. You are not fasting, no? But you will stay like that till 4 p.m. reading. I read the Bible back to back, back to back, back to back. Oh God. So when you see, when God now reads, that's what God looks at, and he rewards with revelations. He rewards with mysteries. It's not by luck. Hunger. I'm looking at a generation of young people. You are not even hungry about anything. The things you are hungry about are killing you. Drugs, Yahoo, women. Do you know that immorality kills? Apart from the spiritual, do you know immorality shortens your life? Most of the men who are diagnosed for prostate cancer, if you check, it was because they were exposed to sex early. Ask doctors. So you don't know. Hunger. As a drummer, hunger for him. Hunger for his glory. Doesn't matter your department in church, you will not remain there forever. Pastor David Ibiome was an usher in Living Faith. Today, he is building the largest church in the world. They will dedicate it this year. If he took his life, like if he was not serious about his life, if he thought he was just going to end as an usher, you think he will be where he is today? Many of your problem is you are limited by where you are now. You are using now to judge tomorrow. Is it because God has not told you he called you an evangelist? Is it because he's allowing you to make money now? Because he has not told you he called you. That's why you are messing up anyhow. When it's time to pray, you'll be sleeping. But you can sit on the TV from 12 midnight till 4 p.m. Actually, years ago in secondary school, I used to do that. I would sit on African Magic, watch till 4 a.m. I was in Port Harcourt then. Watch till 4 a.m., 5 a.m. So when I rededicated my life to Christ, I decided I was going to do times two of that. Spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger. Are you ready to pray tonight? Spiritual hunger is one of the things that begs revival. Anybody here, fellowship president in your school, if you want to see revival, have a hunger in you that your people cannot contain. Let that hunger drive you to pray, drive you to seek God, drive you to press into God. I remember one time I was fasting. We were in 200 level then. I'll say this and then we'll pray. Fasting and praying. 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 On the 70th day, bam! When ecumenical ground that night, I remember. I laid on the floor. And I had a vision. And in the vision, I saw God's servant, Apostle Suleiman. He walked up to me. He was wearing white suit, but no shoe on his leg. He now looked at me into my eyes. He said, "You think you have started praying?" That's all he said. And he turned and walked away. Day 70. The fasting started. In fact, what ended the fasting was I became sick. Can I tell you something? Those years of hunger paid off. In final year, we began to see the move of God. At first, I would go to preach in a place and people would just fall down. One time I was invited to preach in my fellowship night first. Bishop, if he was there, he would bear witness. I just took the mic, I started singing. People were falling down. I remember we finished the service. We were at the door greeting people as they were going. Myself, Bishop, and some other persons. And then a young man came with his girlfriend. The girlfriend came for the first time. We didn't know that she was a cultist. We didn't know that she was, in fact, she was the queen of the cultists. As she shook my hand, she bam, under the power. As a student though, that deliverance, they had to carry her to the other room. It didn't stop. The next day, they brought her to me in the hostel. She started confessing what she did to join the cult. How that the last stage of the initiation, everybody in the cult will sleep with you. I see how people sell themselves to evil. When we took her to the ground to start praying, the manifestation, nobody could hold her. I remember one time I went to preach in Catholic Church, All Saints, 24th December, 2016. I'll never forget. They had just finished praise and worship. Everybody was sweating because they were jumping. Then they now say I should come and preach. At least allow the choir to sing. Let the Spirit move. They say, go and preach like that. As I took the mic and started singing, it is raining all over me. I can feel it. The latter rain. Singing for about 3-4 minutes. When I opened my eyes, half of the church was on the ground. Half of the church on the ground. One time we were praying. We had 17 days of prayer. February 2017. I'll never forget. You see, I'm giving you a date. From 1st to 17th February, God said we should pray 2 hours every night. I don't know why. And one of those days, the last night, we were praying. Blessing, I'm sure you were in that meeting. I sat on the chair. When I stood up, God told me to bring a lady and sit her on that chair. I'll never forget that testimony. I never knew that lady had been diagnosed of cancer in her breast. She was booked for operation in 2 weeks. She sat on that chair. 1 week later, I was entering the fellowship for service, RCF. Somebody accosted me outside. He said, sir, that's where their name apostle started from. We had not started ministry that time. That's where he started from. And then she shared the testimony with me. Where she sat on that chair, something warm went all over her body. She went back to the hostel. And the next day, she discovered when she was taking her bath that the lump had completely disappeared. She told her mother and they waited for 1 week. They went to scan and was sure that it was gone completely. Cancer. Hunger. 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 Me, I've come to a point where nothing can make me turn back. Absolutely nothing. Let me just tell you the truth. Nothing. Like Paul, I can say, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, famine, nakedness, peril, hunger. I don't see all those things. He said, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor principalities nor power. Ask the devil when you see him. Me like this, there's no turning back. That's the point I've gotten to. I don't need to be encouraged to serve God in any way, at any capacity. If God speaks to me today, I don't care who follows me or not, I'm moving. Are you ready to pray? Stand on your feet. Hear me? I never thought that I would do what I'm doing. Are you hearing me? Never, before we started this ministry, I never saw visions of this. I never saw it. Next month is Youth Aflame now. You will see the whole city empty here. You know how it used to be. Outside, everywhere, you will see people, young people. Women's conference will come, the same thing. I never thought God would use me to do all these things. I was just hungry for God. I didn't even know I would be an apostle. That's the reason why it's not the calling that is sustaining my spirituality. No. It's my hunger for God. You are going to cry to God in the next 5 minutes. If nothing has changed in your heart as I've been preaching and shouting since, I will see it by your prayer. But if you have been challenged tonight and you know that there is more God can do with you and through you, I want you to shout to God and say, Lord, here is me. Use me for your glory. Send revival again over me, over my territory, over my family. Please lift your voice and pray. If you have been challenged at all, talk to God. If you are ready for the rain, talk to him again. If you are ready to see the rain of his presence, the rain of his power, the rain of his spirit, open your mouth and say, Lord, use me. Use me. Send revival again. God is waiting for you on behalf of your family. God is waiting for you on behalf of your city. God is waiting for you on behalf of your territory. We're in your presence. Let it rain. Cause your rain. Let it fall on me. We're in your presence. Let it rain. Cause your rain to fall on me. Open the floodgates in abundance and cause your rain to fall on me. Open the floodgates in abundance and cause your rain to fall on me. you crying to God at all? Leke paragada seke paragos. In Jesus' name. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for the move of God? Are you hungry to see revival in your days? Are you dissatisfied with how much of God has been represented? Are you angry at the marching of the kingdom of darkness? This is a season for sons and daughters of God to lift up their voice and to cry to Elohim. In Jesus' name we pray. One more prayer before we go. Find somebody that can pray. Two prayers in one. Number one, Father, anything that has killed my passion for you and for the things of the Spirit, Lord, revive my passion for you. Restore my hunger for you. Prayer point number two. Any form of gifting or ministry that is in me this season, let it begin to manifest. Are you ready to pray? Hold the hands of somebody you believe can pray and begin to pray. Please pray. Please pray. Pray like passionate people. Pray like someone that wants to see revival. If you are hungry to see the move of God, if there is something in you that God has kept hidden that must manifest this season, cry to Elohim. Cry to El Shaddai. Lord, I'm tired of an ordinary life. I'm tired of a powerless life. I'm tired of an ordinary life. God, show me your power. Stir up the giftings that are on my inside. Stir up the ministry that is in my inside. Help that lady under the anointing there. Mashatata kabaragata. Arate kapasia kata. Come and pray like you need revival. Pray like you are hungry for the move of God. Pray like you are desperate. May the move of God not die out in our time. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow. This is not the best of you. This is not all of God that can be seen. There is more. There is more that can be seen. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God is risen upon you. Narakata sete paragata, rakopa sekate, reskopo rakata kasea, eskopranta kapalata. Mothers pray, fathers pray, young men pray, young women pray. There is a voice of passion. The arataka sata karogotoya. Rakotos kete prekata, rakaparakata sakaparada, rosete teraya parahiata.
service, revival service. This is a revival service. Pray. Pray your destiny into manifestation. Pray the gifts and the callings of God inside of you. Let it come alive. Let it come out. Rato Shakota Paragata.
In Jesus' name. This is how a hunger for the move of God sounds. Spiritual hunger can be detected. An eruption of fire inside of you. When you know that there is more of God than you can manifest. When you know that your life is not to be compared to that which is required of you from heaven. Then you will cry. Then you will take hold of the horns of the altar until you see God move again in your family, in your generation. Never settle for less. Never settle for less. Never settle for less. In Jesus. Never settle for less. There is more. Your hunger can call God even when he's not interested in coming. Your hunger can open up divine encounters for you. Encounters that will change your life and make you a sign and a wonder. There are mantles that have no business with your destiny, but your hunger will force God to place it on you. Lose anything but not your hunger for God. Not your hunger for his presence. Alana le manayade. Sombrata lagade de 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 de. Baba o. In Jesus' name. Just help all those people under the anointing. I want to pray for you. I shared with you 3 secrets to revival. Number 1, brokenness. Number 2, repentance. Number 3, spiritual hunger. But there's number 4, love. Love for God and love for men. Please lift your hands. Father, I pray for your children. All through this week, we are coming back next Sunday to continue. This is just introduction. May God infect you with spiritual hunger. Hunger that will push you beyond your edge. Hunger that will make you press into God like never before. You hear me? Anything that God did to me that made my life like this in the days ahead, I pray to the God of my fathers. May he do times 2 to your life. I said, may he do times 2 to your life. Let this season for you be a season for spiritual encounters. Spiritual experiences. May Jesus appear to many of you. May you have angelic experiences. May the word of God come alive to you afresh. Receive it in the name of Jesus. And I pray that in your family, in your life, in your church, in your fellowship, in your prayer group, in your small circle of friends, in your class, in your room in the hostel, in your office, in your place of enterprise, may God through you bring revival in this season. I said, may God cause that you carry a mantle of revival in the name of Jesus Christ. Wave your hands and give Jesus praise. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Were we blessed today? I want to make an altar call before we go. Please do me the honor of just remaining on your seats, standing everybody. Let me share something with you before I make the altar call. I've discovered that many people who claim to be Christians don't believe in Jesus. They believe about Jesus. If you believe that Jesus is God, you don't believe in him yet. Even the devil believes. The Bible says demons believe and confess. Listen to me. If you believe that Jesus came to the earth, you still don't believe in him. You believe about him. If you believe that he taught people, that was just a blessing, you still don't believe in him. If you believe that he healed the sick and worked miracles, you still don't believe in him. If you believe that he died and rose again, you still believe about him. Even Satan believes that. What makes you truly believe in Jesus is that you believe him well enough to surrender your soul and your heart to him. A proof of faith in God is that you give your life to him. You trust him with your life. And Abraham believed in God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's why many people claim to be Christians in church, but they still are not yet saved. I'm going to make an altar call now. First of all, if you are here and you want to receive Jesus into your heart, you want to be born again, afresh, this altar call is for you. Number two, if you are here and you want to rededicate your life afresh, perhaps because of the message that has been preached, or maybe because of what you just heard me said, you want to be assured of your salvation and you want to mean business with God, I will count to 10. Don't wait to be the last. Please take your Bibles and your bags and run to the front. I've preached about repentance and brokenness. This is not a service to be ashamed of God. Even if there's one soul we'll have here today that will be saved, is enough for heaven to rejoice. And as they come, I want you to celebrate God for them, because soul winning is at the heart of revival. So here is your moment. Jesus is calling you right now. 1, 2, 3. If you feel in your conscience that I may be referring to you, then you are the one I'm talking to. Please come quickly. Don't be ashamed. Jesus is calling you. Respond to his love. 4, 5, 6. Somebody still contemplating. Please run to Jesus now. 7. Can we clap better? They are coming as I can see. 8, 9. Hallelujah. Please stretch your hands towards them. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to. Could you please pray for these ones? Pray that God will establish and keep them. Those of you in front, please put your right hand on your chest. I want you to make this confession after me and mean it from the depths of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it out loud. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe that you died and rose again for my salvation. I receive you today into my heart and I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Please keep your right hand on your chest. I just sense a gentle wind of the Lord moving across this auditorium now. Father, I stretch my hands towards these ones. You sent your son to die for them. And I thank you because by the blood of Jesus, their sins have been erased. Their past is erased. We declare that they are born again and they receive the life of God in their spirits. Holy Spirit, I ask that you fill them. Rest upon them. Let the power of sin be broken. Let the power of addictions of all kinds be broken. Let the power of Satan be broken over their lives. And let them serve you in victory all the days of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Please look at me and put down your hands. Whether it's your first time or you are rededicating your life, this is a wonderful decision you have made. Something has changed in your life. Something has shifted. And you will never be the same again. Please turn towards your left. Follow that lady who is waving right now. And our counselors will speak to you and pray for you briefly. Let's celebrate God for them before they go.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.